Okay, let me read from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now we are into a new year now, and when I say 2020, it sounds very big to me. It's a big number, 2020. I remember just 2 decades ago when we approached the year 2000, and we talked about Millennium Bug. Remember Millennium Bug? And people talked about 2000 years-ish from the year, you know, birth of Christ. It was a big thing. 2020, that's it. We keep going, and it's a big, big number. And the further we go, as individuals and humankind, the more difficult it becomes to make choices in life. The more difficult it becomes to make choices, because the more options we have, especially for the young people, the harder it gets, the choices that we have to make. There are a lot of choices that we need to make in life. Most of them are small, some trivial, not important. But there are some really extremely, extremely important choices we have to make. Some of the big choices you have to make. What will you do with your life, for instance? In terms of work or career, or in terms of service to humankind? That's just a generic expression. Some people make one big choice and stick with their life. You know, it's becoming increasingly more difficult to do that nowadays, and some people keep making choices about their jobs again and again, and keep changing what they do. And it's not a problem when we talk about jobs. It becomes a problem if you talk about relationships. If you keep changing our partners, like we change our jobs, that's not really the thing to do. This is another big choice. What do you do with your life? Do you stay single? Or do we marry? I talked about this a lot when I became a Christian. If you want to marry, then the choice is who to marry, and when and where, and it's a big choice to make. The biggest choice we all have to make one way or the other, one time or the other, or some times in life, is how to respond to God when He speaks to us, in whatever manner, shape or form. When we are convinced somewhere within, inside of us, that it is not simply human words entering our ears and our minds and our hearts, our conscience, We feel convinced, deeply convinced within, that it is God Himself that is addressing us in some way. How do we respond? And God can reach us in many different ways, through various circumstances, situations, events, occurrences. And these are some big choices we face at some point in our lives. There are other types of choices, just a few of them, that we will never face. Choices we can never make, choices we are not free to make. And let me give you two big ones, or the biggest ones. One, we can never choose to be born or not to be born. That is not up to us. Not at all. It is entirely in the hands of somebody else. None of us are consulted about how, when, and where we will be born. And some of us may be born in a place where there is hunger, real hunger, you know, nothing to eat, utter poverty. Some of us may be born in a place of plenty, plenty of food, plenty of everything else. We have no say regarding our birth. Another choice we cannot make, and this is the second one, the big one, is a choice, you know, not to die. So many people around us pass away. We look at it. I don't like this. I don't want to die. I choose not to die. I choose to keep living despite this thing called death. Well, these two choices none of us can make. In this respect, we are not free. And we could say we are enslaved in some way in this respect. But there was one person, only one person, who actually had options and power over these two choices, birth and death. And again in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we read that we are told about Christ, we are told that who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of man. We are told that the person we know by the name Jesus Christ, and can become very warm and religious when you say that, it's really his titles, and Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One, it's the one that's been sent by God. You're told that he, being in the form of God, decided to be born as a human being. And he decided when and where he would be born and to which parents, the Spirit of God and Mary. And prenatally, Jesus decided on the details regarding his birth. I'm not talking about God the Father made all the plans, laid all it out. And guess what? He did not choose a place of plenty, but a place of poverty and of no reputation. So Jesus had a choice regarding his birth. He had power over this choice. He had say, and he also had a power over it. The other choice he had power over was the choice regarding his death. And John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, we are told, Jesus said, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. No one takes it from me. I lay down of my own choice. I have power to lay down. I have power to take it up again." What is he saying? Power. He's got the power. He has a power over this choice. Just like he has the power over the choice regarding his birth, he has the power over the choice regarding his death. And none of us can say, oh, I'm going to keep living despite everybody dying and despite death. We can say it, but we'll die and that's the end of our story. Jesus, on the other hand, he said, even if I lay down my life, yes, they killed him, but that would not happen if he did not allow it, if he did not stop those 12 legions of angels from intervening. So, yes, on the surface he was killed, but he is saying, you know, the bottom line is, it's my choice and I lay down my life. And even if I lay down my life, I have power or choice to take it up again. So I choose to live despite dying, despite this thing called death. Can you begin to comprehend how different this person is to us, to you and me? How different Jesus Christ is from you and from me? When he can say, I have the choice and the power regarding my birth and regarding my death. And I'm in full control. But there's one more choice on that note that we have no power over and we cannot make. We cannot choose not to be sinners, not to be evil. We may think we can choose this, but it's really self-delusion if you believe this. Jesus, on the other hand, had power over this choice. He could choose not to be a sinner. He had power over it, and the devil could not do anything about it. And the scripture tells us that Jesus was human in every way, like you and me, in every respect, absolutely everything, exactly the same as you and me, apart from sin. That's the only thing, apart from sin. That was the only difference between his humanity and our humanity. He was sinless and we are sinners. And then we read again, Philippians 2 verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. At the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those on earth, and even those in heaven. Why would they bow before him, those in heaven? Because he was a sinless man? Well, they're sinless also, the creatures in heaven. Why? They're exactly the same. Why would they bow before him? They're sinless too. They're exactly the same. Except, let us remember the beginning of the passage we read. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, it would be a blasphemy and idolatry to bow down in front of anybody apart from God himself. So let us remember that before he took the form of a man and the name Jesus, he is being in the form of God, equal to God. So, in facing the enemies that he has defeated and you and I struggle with, sin, devil, and death, where else shall we go but to him? Who else shall we turn to when we face all these things? Where else do we go? He is our only hope. He is our only hope. No matter what this year brings to us, try and remember that. Mm. Try and remember that and stick very close to him. Thank you.